Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in part 183 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And this is program 285. If you'd like a copy of it, it's free of charge. You order either a CD or a tape copy, and the postage and handling, we take care of that ourselves. This is why we know that we're being blessed by the Lord. It's because we want to stand before Him sinless. It's a sin not to give your offerings and tithes to the Lord. The Lord says that you're robbing Him if you don't give tithes and offerings. He tells us that we're robbing Him, and that no robber, no thief shall enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, there's some bad robbers in this world, but that's one thing a lot of people, they might do today, I don't know, but that's one thing that I never, ever would have ever done in my life was to hold back money from the Lord. People wind up like Ananias and Sapphira. Especially when gospel programs like this are feeding people the real truth in these last days just before Jesus comes back to earth again. People need to hear these messages in order to know the difference between God's power and sin. The thing that the Lord hates more than anything in this world is sin. He drove Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. Back then, there was only one sin. God only gave one commandment, and that was to not eat from the world. Don't eat. Love not the world. The knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from that tree. But He said you could eat all from all the trees in the garden, and you could eat from the tree of life, which actually is Jesus. The Bible shows us Jesus in paradise, in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life. Now, the thing that is the most sinful thing in the world is to disobey God. And that's why it's very important for people to read the Word of God in order to know what it is that disobedience would be, what sin would be. There's no possible way for people to know what sin is unless they read the Bible. But to understand power and Christ properly, it's very essential that we must understand what sin is. It seems like the entire world doesn't know what sin is today because they don't read the Bible. And the Bible says that no sinner shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but that all sinners shall spend eternity in hell and the lake of fire. It doesn't seem like the human race knows or cares to know what sin is and what the power of God is. All power in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus. You can find that in Matthew 28:18. And you know who Jesus is? The Bible says that He is the Word of God. And so it's very beneficial to everybody to study the Word of God so that you know and understand what sin is and what power is. Jesus said, "The words that I speak are not mine own," He says, "but the words that I speak unto you are spirit, and they are life, life-giving power." And we must be washed in the blood of Jesus in order to take all of our former sins away from us. And when that happens, well, then the middle wall of partition between you and God, myself and God, is taken down. And then the great power, the Holy Spirit, the blood has the power to take away all former sins. And then the Holy Spirit enters into us and gives us the power. And it takes away, all the sin is gone now. So that's the difference between sin and power. See, the law came with Moses, but power and truth came with Jesus. the Bible, the Word of God is Jesus. It tells you that in the first chapter of John. It states, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in the 14th verse, it says that, and the Word became flesh. That was Jesus. Now, there's a lot of people in the churches that know that very well, but these messages are not only for the people in the church, but they're for the people that are lost out in the world, so they understand the things. And sometimes people that know the Word and never preach it or teach it, they think, oh, it's so redundant to be preaching and teaching the same thing. But the Bible tells us to not be weary in well-doing. And well-doing is feeding the lost souls out in the world, teaching them and preaching to them, and showing them the difference between the power of God and sin. Sinners don't have any power in them at all. They must come to the one in whom all power dwells. All power in heaven and on earth dwells in Christ, belongs to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So we must come to him to have the power which overcomes sin. When Christ enters into you by the Spirit, which is God, God is the Spirit, and when he enters into you, both of them, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, then you have the power to not sin anymore. And the Lord hates sin so much that he sent his only begotten Son into this world to stamp it out. So with the power of God in him, he was begotten by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit. He was able to never sin in his entire life. And then he was obedient to the Father right to the death. And that's what we must do. And the Spirit of the Lord enters into us, in other words, the power, so that the sin is gone already. And then we have the power to tell sin to take a hike when we're tempted. Amen?
Amen.
So the people of this world don't understand what the power of God is, and they don't understand all the power and the wisdom of God, which is Christ. Okay, now, but everyone must understand all this, because they can understand what sin is when they know the power. And how otherwise can people come to this understanding? How can they? How, then, through the light of God's Word, which is Christ? And on top of that, Christ is, again, I'm saying it, the Word of God and the power of God. Through the light of God and his Word, Jesus is the Word of God. So, we have to go to the beginning of the Bible if we're going to understand, if we're going to do this outline of what sin is and what the power of God is. So we go to the beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis, and we can read then that the human being, we humans were created by God after his likeness and after his image. We were pronounced by God, our Creator, to be very good. The Lord said he crafted man, and that was very good, he said. Then sin entered in this world as rebellion against God. Adam and his wife Eve were driven out of the paradise because his wife was deceived. Are you deceived today? Have you read the Bible to know whether you're deceived or not? Well, if you haven't, I would suggest that you do that, because if you don't care enough about your own soul to go to your Creator, who Christ is, the Bible says that all things were created by Christ and that they were created for him, by him and for him. He paid the price for us, and we're not our own. He wants to live in us with his Father, and he wants to win or appropriate souls, all of us together corporately become his bride. And if we're in Christ instead of the Antichrist, then we're able to enter into the kingdom of heaven, because only Christ can enter into heaven. He's our head, and we are his body. Now, so a few people know these things. It just seems earth-shaking to them when they read some of my tracts, because, you'll hear some testimonies. We have thousands of letters that come in that say it's so powerful. They've never heard anything like this before. And the reason for that is because they never pick up their Bibles and read them for themselves. I have no doubt that they could write these things, too, if they'd pick up their Bible and read them. So Adam and Eve were driven out of paradise because his wife was deceived. And you know something? The Bible says that the whole world is deceived right now. This couple was driven out of paradise. And not only that, they were brought along with untold millions, maybe many billions of people, I'm sure, are deceived. And the Lord didn't care. Well, a lot of people say, people are deceived. We should say, oh, we forgive you. But we don't have the power to forgive sin. We can forgive one another if they've offended us for something, but we don't have the power to forgive sin. Only God is able to, according to the Word of God, and you better read it so you can tell whether I'm telling you the truth or not, only God has the power to forgive sin. And so when Eve sinned and they were being driven out of paradise, out of the Garden of Eden, she might have said, oh, please, Lord, have mercy on me, I'll repent, and please forgive. No, the Lord hates sin. It was on her soul. When you sin, the sin goes on your soul, and you need God's power to enter into you, his blood first to wash away those sins, and then for the Spirit of God, the power of God, Christ, to enter into you with his Father, to make it possible for you to not sin any longer. Okay? So there's billions of people that are deceived. The Bible says in the last days the whole world would be deceived. All these different generations under curse, we're all under the curse until we accept Christ's blood over our souls. And there's no, you can't say, oh Lord, I heard that, but there was so much baloney going on earth, and I just didn't. There, you're deceived? That's tough. So because the Lord sent many preachers out, and we're being persecuted for preaching this word. Don't you know that the Antichrist, which is the corporate body of Antichrist, there's many Antichrists, but they're actually one body of people. There's the body of Christ, which is Christ and all of his followers. Then there's the body of Antichrist, which is Antichrist, Satan, and all of his followers. And so we have to know these things. You can't know them. It's impossible for you to know these things unless you read God's word, which is our direction into the kingdom of heaven and is our power also. The Bible says grace, but grace means power. The law came with Moses, but power and truth came with Jesus. So all these different generations were experiencing now the curse and the ruin that was caused by Adam and Eve. And then now when, the Bible says there was only one sin then, and that was to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But now that we know all evil And now that we know all sin, it's like Pandora's box. I mean, every filthy, lying, demonic, degenerate thing came out of there and entered into us, and we know what good is. Don't try to kid anybody. But to know the increments of it and how to get rid of sin, we have to read the difference between sin and power. Okay, you've got power on one side and sin on the other. And that's why the Lord loves, the Father God loves the Lord Jesus Christ so much, is because he never sinned once. And that's because he knew, and he himself hates sin so much, that he's going to not only, he's going to annihilate this sinful world and the kingdom of heaven as well, and all that's in the world that loves the world. The Lord said, love not the world or anything that's in it, because all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, people picking up on each other and lusting, and the lust of the flesh. And so the we're cursed, and there's ruination, and sin keeps growing. Satan's been set loose on this earth, and he's attacking Christians. He's attacking the Jews, because the Jews wrote the Bible. And the Christians, the true born-again Christians, are the new Israel, the new Jerusalem. So yeah, Satan is, he knows his time is short, and he's full of wrath, and he's doing everything he can to persecute and lie about and slander those of us that are bringing forth this great and mighty and powerful word of power to eliminate your sin and to give you power not to sin. So that's ruination. Now, curse and ruin is the work of sin. The wages of sin is death. This is where we learn that sin's nature. We learn all about sin's nature, because sin is weak. Every weakling, you know, they just immediately are lusting and carried away with their own lusts in their bodies. So we learn about sin from the Bible and the nature of it, and then in the Bible we also learn of God's power to be able to wash away the dirty, filthy sin, and also to enter into you, clean you up, and keep you on the straight and narrow. So going further into the Word of God, we just go down the line. You can see that all this is true. We see that the Ark of Noah set on Mount Ararat, where it settled down after the flood. Godlessness was so terrible that it had become among all men, with the exception of Noah, his three sons, his wife, and the wives of his three sons. In other words, godlessness had become so bad, so evil, so ruination, so full of ruination among God's creation here on earth, that God saw that there wasn't anything to do but to destroy all the entire human race. Every man, woman, and child, they were all filled with sin. He destroyed all of them from off the face of the earth. People say, well, or why? It's because God hates sin so bad that it is the work of sin that he hates. The Lord tells us of these things. And then after this, we go to Mount Sinai. God wanted to establish his covenant with an entirely new nation of people, those that believe God, because very few people on the face of the earth believe God. And that's how we're saved, by our belief or our faith in God, the Word, the words of God. Because you've got the entire Antichrist news media, government, and cult in Rome telling you of one thing, and then you've got those of us that are out here plugging away in the Spirit of God, telling you what sin is and what the power of God is. But God wanted an entirely new nation. He made a covenant with them. And that new nation was the people of Israel. And that's why the people of the world hate them so much, is because they're God's chosen people. And it doesn't make any difference how jealous you get or how much you want to abuse them. God is going to curse you if you do it. He said, I'll bless them that bless the Jew, and I'll curse you if you curse them. Okay, and you can see what happened to Hitler and all those people over there. We prayed for them. We prayed for the people that you can see, the people that are involved with this Vatican mess, the one world government, and even the people here in the United States, the armed forces that have become the strong arm of the Vatican to punish nations, destroy their leaders, and that we cause, because the Vatican, which is Satan's church, and the government is Satan's government, and the media is Satan's media, they want to destroy anyone that is Christian, true born-again Christian. And this is our fight. It's a war between God and Satan for the soul of man. And it's he wanted to establish this covenant with the new nation, the nation of Israel. But because of the sinfulness of mankind, God could not do this. Only by appearing in darkness and lighting it. So terrible that Moses was so afraid that he tells us in the Word that he exceedingly feared and quaked. Hebrews 12:21. Now all the false preachers will tell you, oh, we're not supposed to fear God. We're to reverence him. In other words, like God is some kind of a homosexual or something. Or that he's a senile old man sitting up in heaven on a rocking chair. Can't really see what's going on or anything. He sees everything. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's as powerful as he's ever going to be. And he was in the beginning and will be throughout eternity. But anyway, I guess I've been harsh enough on your tender ears out there this morning, this afternoon, this evening. And so I guess I'd like to have Jack Holcomb sing you a little song. The reason for it is, it's the reason that I'm teaching you these things, because it's sweet to trust in the Word. Amen.
Amen.
And the Word is Jesus. And so let's give Jack Holcomb a spin here while he's singing, It's So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Amen. Jesus, Amen. The Word of God. Go ahead.
Trust in Jesus, just who dare to bear his word, just to rest upon his cross, just to know the Savior. Jesus, Jesus, how I him, how I root him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for
to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him.
The Lord, Jack. That's right. We can trust God. Amen?
Amen.
And God is the Word. Jesus is the Word of God. He's the wisdom and the power of God. All power and all wisdom in heaven and on earth belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. All power. And, you know, the Lord is very consistent, as I told you, that Moses feared and quaked. Feared and quaked. Now, when you're reverencing, have you ever reverenced anybody and quaked at the same time? Well, this is the same thing. I'm talking about consistency in the Bible. When the Apostle Paul saw the Lord and he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against me, Jesus, because you kick against me. It's like kicking against a cactus, or even worse, because you're going to get hurt." Because nobody fights God, and Jesus is God. And some of you may take issue with that. That's only because you haven't read the Word enough. You'll see that he said, when he was asked, "Lord, show us the Father," he said, "Have I been with you so long that you don't know me?" And then he also stated, the Bible tells of him that he's the everlasting Father. Amen?
Amen.
The Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Well, God made us kings and priests, and therefore he's the king of all of us kings that he made. And because we are to rule for him here in this world with his word, and also he's going to give us positions of great power in the kingdom of heaven, because the Lord likes to use his people in positions that are capable and are zealous to take positions. And he looks at somebody, you can tell people that are interested in serving the Lord, or you can go into a job and look around and see people working in a warehouse or anywhere for that matter, and see which ones have the zeal to do the things that they're supposed to do. And you can see the ones that are kind of just punching the time clock and looking at their watches to see how soon it is before they can take a break and before they can go home. Have you ever seen things like that before in your life?
Yes.
I have, okay? So it was the same thing with the Apostle Paul. He was quaking too. He was scared to death, and it wasn't that he didn't know who it was. He said, you know, he asked him, he called him Lord, amen?
Amen.
And then even in this modern day and age, 42 years ago, the Lord came down to me in very similar way. I wasn't on a horse, but I was in an office in Beverly Hills, and he shut my ears off, and his voice came all through my legs and feet and arms, and my head, just everywhere. And he was telling me I heard better in my knees and in my chest and arms than I ever heard in my natural ears. And he told me, "Stand up on your feet and tell these people, I am the Lord thy God. Stand up on your feet and tell the people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And he opened up my mind, and I knew there was a heaven and a hell, and I never believed that before. I didn't even believe in him. It was so supernatural to know that God is up there, and he knows everything that you're doing. And I didn't just reverence, you know, stand by the window with a rose in my teeth or in my hand. I mean, I was so frightened that I was quaking inside. And I'll guarantee you that when the Lord appears to you or you stand before him in judgment, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to get on your hands and knees, or you're going to throw yourself at his feet. And just like Buster said he saw himself squealing like a pig. You know, it's no joke to stand before the Lord. You'll quake, all right. And the people of Israel all fell on their face, and they were scared to death. And they said, Moses, tell God that we don't want him to talk to us. Let him talk to you, because his booming voice rattled their bones and the very fiber of every part of their innards. And they saw the smoke going up in the mountain there at Mount Sinai. And trumpets appeared in the sky, and they started blasting. The sound that's actually going to raise the dead, the voice of the archangel. And there was an earthquake. And God quoted the Ten Commandments. And everybody in Israel heard that. And, you know, and then people, they're even trying to tell people today that there was no Holocaust. And all of us have seen the pictures. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, we have to believe. So right now we have some testimonials that have come in. Might as well lighten up a little bit here for a while, huh, folks? You want that? Okay. I heard somebody say, yeah. Give us a break, Tony. All right, go ahead. Where's the first one from?
Boston, Massachusetts.
Boston, okay.
An elderly lady, 83 years old, called our witnessing line to see if anyone would really answer or if it was just a recording.
If it was just a phony thing like so much is in this world. I can't, for the life of me, get used to talking to a machine. Amen? Can you?
No.
Because they never say the right thing. Okay, then what?
She said she was so thrilled to read the Dry Bones article in the Boston Globe's December 10th issue.
Well, because that's my testimony, I just gave you a little bit of it. Then what'd she say?
She was at home, sick, from church Sunday, so her minister came to visit and to tell her about their church service. Then she remembered the newspaper article and brought it out to him. He exclaimed, "Where did you get that?" She said, "The Boston Globe." He said, "I have never, ever seen anything like that in the Boston Globe. They could not get over it." The minister read the literature out loud to her, including the sinner's prayer, and they said it was so good, very, very interesting. They couldn't get over how good it was. She's going to tell others about it and for them to call the phone number also. She was so happy there was a phone number to call. She also requested prayer because she's been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Her name is Pearline.
Okay, everybody pray for her. Her name is Pearline.
Yes.
Okay. Now you have something else. Where's this next one from?
The next one is from New York. Pray for a lady in New York that saw the literature Difficult Mountain in the Daily News. She said she's read the Daily News forever, and it's the first time she's ever seen anything talking about Jesus. It's really, really great. She's just taken back. She's going in for a CAT scan because she's been diagnosed with cancer, and now she's reading your literature, Difficult Mountains, and is very thankful. Please pray for her healing.
The literature, Difficult Mountain, is from a vision that the Lord showed me of Sue and myself. Sue passed away. I went to be with the Lord in 1982, April 8th, 82, and before that, years before that, he showed me that we'd be going up this mountain, and there'd be, first he showed me walking up really fast and a very steep mountain, and then the vision opened wider and I could see Susie trudging up behind me, very slow. She was erect, not bent over, And when I saw that, I turned around, thank God, in the vision, and went down and put my arm around her and started helping her up the mountain. And as soon as I did, it was all in beautiful color. Then the whole vision turned to black and white. It was like this big black wind was coming down at us and trying to prevent us from getting up to the top of the mountain. And then pretty soon you could see us, and sometimes I'd be on one knee and still pushing, but treading up the mountain, and then the whole vision turned black. Okay, now the next one.
From Bronx, New York, a woman called who said that she had read your Dry Bones literature.
Which is my testimony tract again. Okay, then what else?
She said she just wanted to give you a praise the Lord and a hallelujah. She said you are so right on. She was just in awe. She wanted to be put on the mailing list because I told her how you had many other messages that she could receive. She was overjoyed to hear someone in this day and age preaching the true word. I told her that these tapes and literature are literally sent all over the world, and how the Lord said just before he comes back, one of the signs would be that the gospel would be preached to all nations. She said, Amen. Sir, she was so excited of what she had read. I also told her we have a church in the New Jersey area, and she was overjoyed. She just wanted to make sure to tell you to keep up the work you are doing for the Lord. It's awesome.
Well, you don't have to worry about that. I certainly will, and I appreciate your prayers, and everybody pray for her as well. Then what?
Then a woman named Adrienne from Long Island, New York, called and said she read your testimony entitled Dry Bones in the newspaper. She said she was blown away. She said she was so impressed and said it is a beautiful Christian article. She really knows you are a man of God. She couldn't say enough good about you and the literature. She said it was too good to just throw out with the rest of the paper and ask for more to give to others. She asked for some of your other literature and wanted one with a picture of you on it so she could see what you look like.
I'll maybe spare her on that one. No, I'll send a picture. Yeah, all of you that want a picture of me, I'll send you one. Usually there's a picture of myself on a lot of the pieces of literature that I have. Okay, and then what?
She said she would like to talk to you if possible.
Okay. Well, that'd probably be between 2:15 or 3:15 in the morning and 3:20. All right. So before the ending of the law, there was an awful message that came from God. And that was, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You're cursed if you don't keep the moral law. And the false prophets say, well, we don't have to do that. The Lord took care of everything. Well, yes, he made us strong to not sin anymore. That's what the real thing is, because God hates sin so much that you better not believe these false prophets that's telling you that the Lord saved you so you could sin some more. So, cursed is everyone that continues not in the things which are written in the law, in the book of the law, to do them. Not only, the book of James says that a lot of people say that, we don't have to keep the law, but he says, faith without works, if you believe the word of God, and he tells you to go out and witnessing and tell, but first learn the word of God, and to devote your entire life to him, surrender your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength to him, and you don't do that, then you're not paying any attention to the new law also in the New Testament, which is the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus. All right. So the Lord, what he does is magnifies the moral law. The moral law says, do not commit adultery. But he said, anyone, here's how he magnifies it, anyone that even looks at a person, and they're married, and they look at a person that's somebody else's wife, and lust after them, you've already committed adultery. So that's magnifying the law. Amen?
Amen.
And he says, if you hate your brother or your sister without a cause, you're committing murder. Amen?
Amen.
So he says, do not murder. Now, if you hate anybody, especially people that believe the Lord, so you have to do them. He says, I'll show you my faith by my works. And the Lord said that we're going to be judged by all the works, everything that we've done in this world. False reports, lying. If you have a husband, you don't feed him. If you don't take care of the house, if you don't take care of the children, if you're a husband and you don't provide for them, you're worse than an infidel. And infidels go to hell. And if you're worse than an infidel, you're going to go to the deepest part of hell. A deeper part than just a regular infidel. Well, a lot of people say that's in the Old Testament. Oh, is it really? You're saying that because you don't know the Bible. This is actually in the New Testament. It's in the book of Galatians, the New Testament. Galatians 3:10 says, it was sin that made that statement necessary. Okay? It was sin that made that statement necessary. You're saying you wonder what statement that is. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. He's talking about the moral law. So you're saying, that's Old Testament. No, this statement is made in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. That's why that statement was made necessary, is because you people keep saying that the law is done away with. And the false prophets that you listen to say that. Now, to show you how horrible sin is, we got to go to Calvary. Now, there, we're confronted with Jesus dying on the cross. We're able to see what sin is and what sin has done to the Almighty God, the Savior, the Son of God. And the hatred, not only of the hatred, but the enmity with which the world cast out and crucified the Son of God. There, sin reached its climax. It was there that Christ was, by God Himself, made sin and became a curse as the only way to destroy sin. So God hates sin so much that He came and died to do away with it. And you dirty false prophets, you dirty liars that say people can still sin and nobody's perfect. If you're walking in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, according to the Lord, you're perfect. And verse 1 in chapter 8 of Romans tells you, there, therefore, is no condemnation, absolutely no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you walk after the Spirit, there's no condemnation to you. And therefore, if you're not ever condemned by walking in the Spirit, then you're perfect. And these liars that tell you nobody's perfect, it's because they're not, and they don't want to tell you to be perfect, because everybody can see that they're sinners. But if you believe what they say, you better read the Bible and see what Jesus says. Amen? There is no other way to destroy sin than that God came Himself in the flesh and died and shed His blood to put an end of sin for those that come unto Him for the mercy, for His tender mercy, and for forgiveness. There's no other way other than by him hanging on a tree, by hanging Christ on that tree. Nail-pierced hands and feet, pierced in the side, sold for 30 pieces of silver. He's the only begotten Son of God, and he had to die on the cross to shed his precious blood that we might be saved. The pain, the agony in which this our Lord prayed in Gethsemane that he might not drink this terrible cup. And in agony in which he experienced on the cross, in the deep darkness of what not only were people, but it was people that were possessed with the devil. We know that this is desecration. Jesus cried out, my God, for this cause was I brought into this world. The King James, this is the real Aramaic translation of that. The King James Version on that particular statement is wrong because the translators didn't understand Aramaic well enough. And that's the language that Jesus spoke, was Aramaic and Hebrew. My God, why hast thou forsaken me is not the proper translation. God never forsook Jesus. It was for this cause that he came into the world, to die for us and shed his precious blood for us, be buried and then raised from the dead. He died for those of us that we were all sinners, and now we're not sinners. We're the sons of God, and we're perfect if we're walking in the Spirit. Okay, that's Matthew 27, verse 46, in the Aramaic Bible. If you're far away from the Lord, you'll get some faint idea of the curse and the indescribable suffering which sin brought upon our Lord Jesus Christ, and what it brings upon us if we continue to sin. All right, so now we have some scriptures to read here. Okay, go ahead.
1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient.
Okay, let me explain that. No, the law cracks down on you if you sin one time. Then the law becomes the schoolmaster and condemns you. All the law does is condemn. But walking in the Spirit, there's no condemnation. So as long as you're walking in the Spirit of life, as long as you're perfect, as long as you're not sinning, then the law has no reason to arrest you and throw you into the eternal prison of hell and the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
So the law is made for people that don't get saved and don't have the power of God in them to continue on. The law is for those that love to break the law. Okay, then go ahead.
The law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners.
So if you were a Christian, a born-again Christian, you decided to sin some more, well, then the law comes back upon you, and the Lord said he died once. And he said he's not coming back. He said, behold, I'm he who was dead, and behold, I am alive now forevermore. I'm not going to die again for you, so don't sin anymore. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
For unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers.
And remember that the Lord said that Christians that hate are murderers. If you hate a brother or a sister, or even if you hate your enemy, you're a sinner. And there's a lot of people in this world that call themselves Christians that have churches, and they bring all kinds of false accusations against brothers, the real Christians, and they just keep doing it, and they're not even ashamed. That shows me that if they really knew the Lord, they sure don't have any fear of Him, because they keep lying and telling and hating and spewing out venom, poison, and trying to do everything they can to destroy people. And if your church is not being persecuted, then it for sure is not a righteous church, because Jesus said, all those that live righteous, holy lives in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
For manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine.
Okay, now we have another scripture. Go to it.
1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith.
They'll mean they'll say goodbye-bye, God, goodbye your word, goodbye. Then what?
Giving heed to seducing spirits.
They'll be listening to seducing spirits, you know, the mob. And God's going to punish you if you don't get back with Him. And then what?
And doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron.
Right, there isn't anything that you could say to those kind of people that will put them under conviction. Okay, go to the next scripture.
2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9.
Now, if the law is done away with, then why is the New Testament telling us all these things, how these people are condemned? Amen?
Amen.
Either you're saved and you're a son of God, or you're not saved and you're a son of Beelzebub, Satan, the devil. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night.
Yeah. In the days of Noah, He drowned the whole world, and now Peter's going to be talking about this big fire that's coming. Okay? Go ahead, because we're out of time. I'm going to give you a few more seconds.
In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?
Right. And all those of you out there that are haters, haters of God, and haters of people that are bringing the gospel out, you know what you are? If you're not going to repent, you're Satan. You're part of the corporate body of Antichrist. And we in this church come against you in the blood of Jesus and the word of God. All right, so those of you that want to be in the corporate body of Christ, to be perfect, because the power of God, some people deny the power of God, but the power of God is more than capable of making you perfect. Amen?
Amen.
You can see God holding up the entire world with His Spirit, His Word, and He'll hold you up through all these trials and tribulations that you see happening in the world today, and you can take all the fear of the devil away from you. So say this prayer if that's what you'd like, to be born again of the Holy Spirit. Say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because Your word says so. Your word says You'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know You have heard me, and I know You have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank You, Lord Jesus, from the bottom of my heart for saving my soul. Praise the Lord. Now, if you really got saved, if the Spirit of the Lord entered you, just raise your hands and thank Him for it. Thank You, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Sharon, tell them four different ways that they can receive a copy of this program. That's program number 385, CD or disc, whatever you like, or CD or a audio tape.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, I'm going to have Brother Jack Holcomb sing for you here in just a few seconds. But until tomorrow, make sure you tune in for another power-packed message from the Lord. And until then, go all the way with your Savior, because He leads you all the way. And that's what Brother Jack is going to be singing for you right now. All the way my Savior leads me. That's what you want in these last days.
All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my goal? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whatever befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. Jesus, let me hold.